Hello and welcome to our podcast.
This is Get Lit with Jana and Carson.
I'm Carson.
And I'm Jana.
And we did our intro right for the first time.
It's like a shock. I did kind of set him up for it beforehand. I was like, let's make sure we do it.
Okay. This is episode 16 of the Get Lit pod.
Holy crap.
And we have a fun-filled episode for you.
Yeah.
So should we just...
Let's jump right into it.
So first up, we have our flower letters update. And conveniently, this is letter number 16.
Oh my heck, that's funny.
All right, so the update from Orchid May.
You said it's a juicy one, so.
There's some tea.
Okay.
So we first get a postcard, which is beautiful. There is a telegram to Sam Hunt from Jack. And he's saying, basically, Sam, I know who the ghost is, and you can't trust anybody. You need to, like, we need to talk.
Ooh. Can he even trust Orchid May? We don't know.
Okay. So then we have excerpts from Orchid May's journal. One page.
Okay.
Basically, there was an attack on the village that they were in.
Oh, my.
So it's, I don't know if I've mentioned this before, everything kind of in this letter series is surrounding the rubber industry.
Okay.
So all these, like...
Because they're harvesting from the rubber trees.
Yes. Rubber companies, like rubber power lords, whatever. So some bad guys came and attacked the village where Aunt Amelia and the Colonel and Sam and Orchid all were. So they were kind of forced to hide. And of course, they were like, the Colonel and Sam told Aunt Amelia and Orchid, like, you guys hide. You're just women. We'll help protect everybody. So they were just like sitting there in a corner, like watching everything happen while the boys were out, you know,
fighting,
protecting.
Yeah.
Sam got shot in the head.
No! Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Dad, is he dead?
It didn't say that.
Shut up. She would have said that. She would have wrote that, right? I hope that she would have said that in her
journal. I think from what I read, she's assuming that he's dead.
Oh my gosh.
Because basically she saw him get shot and they, like, the colonel came and got her and Aunt Amelia and they ran.
Okay.
So for about a week, they're just on the run. And I get this information from the magazine article.
Okay.
So they're on the run from these bad guys that attacked the village because they're going to come looking for Aunt Amelia and Orchid May and the Colonel.
Well, sure, because they were witnesses.
So it's assumed that Sam's dead. I'm going to assume he's not, but he was shot.
It's supposed to be a love story.
He was shot in the temple. Anyways, so Aunt Amelia and the Colonel and Orchid are on the run. And then, you know, they're like struggling to find food and they're, you know, basically just barely surviving.
Okay.
And the bad guys catch up to them. And so they're forced to hide again. But Aunt Amelia and the Colonel, like, hide Orchid. And the bad guys take the Colonel and Aunt Amelia.
Oh, my heck. So now Orchid's by herself.
So she's by herself. Somehow she's still publishing to this magazine.
That's very interesting. Listen.
So in her journal, we only find out about Sam being shot. And then the rest of that information comes from her recent article. And it's, like, written...
Man, she doesn't even have to sizzle this one up.
No. So we've got March 24th, and then March 28th, and then March 31st. So over the course of about a week, she is writing, and it's still somehow getting published. I'm not sure entirely how that's working. But in the end, she just says, there's several hours until daylight, several hours to wonder whether I'll ever see Aunt Amelia and the Colonel again.
Wow.
And I think at this point, they're still waiting for Mr. Morgan to show up. So I'm assuming, my prediction is that in the next couple letters I receive, maybe Mr. Morgan is going to show up and be like, something bad happened here. Where is everybody?
Right.
Or maybe he's behind it.
Holy cow.
The last thing in here is the Girl Guide's handbook.
It's like first
in the original 1918. So it's just got a bunch of graphics on like how to tie knots and how to build a fire and how to identify plants and trees.
This is
and
stuff we used to do at girls' camp.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
Okay, wow. That's fun.
So that is letter 16. And just when I was complaining about, you know, we've only got, what, 8 letters left?
Like, the action?
Stuff has happened. Stuff has happened.
Okay. That's crazy. Okay, so mine has another cipher. The bummer is that my cipher person, which was Sydney, is not here anymore. She's down at college, so I'm going to have to do this cipher on my own. You guys don't remember these little, like, I don't know, pictographs or whatever. They're teensy tiny little flowers, but they start to all look the same. However, the cool thing about this cipher is that part of it is filled in. So, yeah. Like, some of the words are part way there.
And, like, can we just say that we're not just lazy? These things are huge.
These are massive.
It's like an 11 by 17.
It's massive. Yeah. And the letter is from Audrey Rose to her dad, the general. And she's like, anyway, she's a little mad at him because he apparently went behind her back from Uncle Abe and, like, that she had given some information to and thought that he could, like, undermine her or whatever. And that he also asked Charlie to try and dissuade her from helping Uncle Abe. And she's like, listen, I'm going to do this anyway. So, like, whatever. And then on the back of it, she also includes a little, what does she call it? She calls it a pattern.
Oh.
I'm like, girl, this is not a pattern. Anyway, and hers is partially filled in as well. And it basically is alluding to the fact that she's arrived somewhere. And then it has an O met us at the station. So that would to make me think that Oppenheimer met her at the station and picked her up. And then there's this other part where it says something about agents and physics and Dr. O. And so I'm sure she's giving information about that. So I need to go through and I need to decipher that. And which is going to take me 1,000 years. Just kidding. If I just sit down and do it, it won't take very long. And get that done. And then I'll know what's really happening. But mine is kind of a small letter besides the the big old whatchamajigger.
All anyway, right. Well, yeah. Those are the flower letters. If you want to try it out for yourself, visit theflowerletters.com. We're not sponsored, but we could be if they wanted to acknowledge our existence, because we love them. Okay, now we're going to get into our personal reading recap. Okay, Jana, you go first.
So I've only actually finished 2 books since the last time. I finished Onyx Storm, which is a hefty book. Real hefty. And I will be honest, I was bored probably the first 20 to 30% of it. And I was like, I don't know if I want to finish this book. Mm-hmm. It's the third book in the Fourth Wing series. And I was just kind of like, I mean, stuff was happening, but I was bored with the storyline. And then it started to get a little bit interesting. There were some journals and some diaries and some writings that came to light that made everything a little bit more exciting. And then they went on like a quest and it got better. So I did give it 4 stars. Then I read an ARC that was sent to me through this Goodreads group that I'm in. And it was called The Shadowed Oracle. It's a fantasy. Really good. I gave it 4 stars. It was also pretty long and hefty. I read that on my Kindle. And then I'm in the middle of Apprentice to the Villain. I'm about halfway through it. And again, loving it. Loving it.
I love that for you.
And the next book I'm going to read is The Tenant by Freida McFadden. She is the palate cleanser, we've determined.
Yeah.
So I'm very excited for that. I know it'll be a quick read.
Yep. Okay, so I have finished 3 books since we last recorded. I finished The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. This was my first audiobook experience ever.
And?
I enjoyed it.
Okay. Maybe I've convinced you.
We'll just wait till you.
Okay. Okay. All right.
I gave Songbirds and Snakes 4 stars.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. I think it was longer than it needed to be.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of, I feel like.
Did you cry?
No.
What?
What part would I have cried at?
Okay, never mind. Wrong book.
You're thinking Sunrise on the Reaping.
On the Reaping. Yeah, I am, in fact.
I haven't gotten there yet. No, I did not cry. It was fine. I enjoyed it because it was, you know, I love like lore and history, especially in a made up.
Yes, and this is like book one, and I guess we could consider like the prequel.
It is the prequel. It's about the 10th Hunger Games, whereas Katniss and Peeta, that's the 74th.
Yeah.
So we kind of go back in time and you...
Quite a lot.
You get the history on kind of how those games came to be.
President Snow, when he was just learning how to be a game maker.
Yes. I read The Tenant.
This okay.
It was audiobook.
Okay. It's a good audiobook?
I thought it was pretty good. I gave it 3 stars.
Okay.
And on the Frida scale, that's, I feel like, as low as I've ever gone.
Probably pretty average, yeah.
Yeah. It was good. It just wasn't, like, my favorite of the Frida books.
Okay.
And then I also listened to A Wrinkle in Time.
Which is weird.
I had finished The Tenant. And then I was at work the next day, and I was like, well, none of the books that I have on hold on Libby were available. So I just clicked on what's available now. I will be transparent. I did try to listen to Pride and Prejudice because I know that one was available, and I need to read it.
It's a classic.
Yes, it's a classic. I tried, but I couldn't listen to that one.
It's written very formally.
Yes. So I did buy a physical copy of that so I can read it. But I found A Wrinkle in Time. It was available. It was short. It was like 6 hours.
But it's weird.
And it's a classic, and I'd never read it, but it's pretty weird. I gave that one 3 stars because it's just 3 stars on my scale. It was okay.
All right.
Like, I was interested at some parts, very uninterested in other parts.
What are you going to read next?
Currently... I am listening to The Boyfriend by Freda McFadden.
Okay.
And
that is probably top 3 of my favorite Freda books.
I've heard that from several sources. So I'm listening to that, and I'm in the middle of reading Percy Jackson, Sea of Monsters.
Oh, cool.
Okay. I have that whole series, and I teach the first book to my 6th graders.
So you're like, I need to read
the book. So I have the whole series, yeah. And I've seen, like, the movie, which I know is not accurate, but I have the whole series, and I didn't really know what to read next.
Right.
It's like, oh, that would be quick. Like, it's an easy read, because it's, you know, a children's book. Like,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I'm currently reading.
Cool. I love it.
Okay. Moving on.
It's game day.
Oh, yes. It's the end of the month. So we've started a tradition where we play a game.
This is my idea. I'll have you know.
You explain it.
It's Mad Libs.
So we did
Mad Libs. It's Mad Libs.
But we did it with popular book series.
Yes.
We had our good friend ChatGPT help us out with it. For the meat of the Mad Libs. And then we do the work with, you know, putting in the words and...
Yeah.
So we each have 2. We have filled one out off the record so that you don't have to be tortured with that twice. However, we have our second one that we're going to fill out with our listeners. And then we are going to read through both of them. So there will be 4 in total, but we're only going to fill out 2 right now.
Okay.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I'll go first.
Okay. So. Tell the people.
So this is going to be Housemaid, Mad Libs, Secrets Behind the Door.
Okay,
Carson, I need an adjective.
Fresh.
Nice. Street name.
Jana Street.
Oh, okay. That's not real, but all right.
I don't want to give a real street name.
Adjective.
Tall.
Plural noun.
Drawers.
Another plural noun.
Doors.
A scent.
Lemon.
Ooh. Last name. 2 last names. But,
do they need to be the same last name?
I mean,
they're married, apparently, according to this. But yeah.
I'll give you just one. Let's see. Dawn.
Okay.
As in Dawn Power Wash.
This is what we've resorted to, looking around my house. Okay, I need an adjective and a body part.
Orange.
Okay.
Ankle.
And a verb.
Kick.
Okay, I need a verb and then a plural noun.
Read.
Okay.
Pianos.
A food and a room and a house.
Chocolate muffin.
That's oddly specific.
You have a chocolate muffin.
I know. Okay, room and a house.
And a room and a house. Pantry.
Nice. Time of day.
Lunchtime.
Okay. Plural noun.
Chairs.
Adjective.
Squirmy.
Object.
Water bottle.
Verb.
Scream.
Last name.
Is it the same one as before?
I think so.
Okay.
I'll just fill that in. And then it looks like it's right here as well. Okay. Adjective and then a noun.
Rough. Now, the farther we go, the harder it is to come up with words.
Right, I know.
Skillet.
Okay. A verb, and then a room and a house.
Draw. Guest room.
Time of day.
Sunset.
Adjective.
Short.
Verb ending in ing.
Talking.
And then another adjective.
Slow.
Object.
Notebook.
Body part.
Ring finger.
Verb past tense.
Broke.
Adjective.
Large.
Creature or person.
Oh. Raccoon.
Noun.
Doorknob.
Adjective.
Small.
Plural noun.
Spices.
Verb.
Right.
Oh, I did the wrong one. You guys. Okay, plural noun.
Bags.
Adjective.
Dark.
Okay, I filled in the last name again. A beverage.
Ooh, Diet Coke.
Nice. Adjective.
Glass.
And first name.
Ooh, Steve.
Verb.
Sleep.
Okay.
Okay, do you want to read it now, and then we can do mine?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Housemaid Mad Libs, Secrets Behind the Door. When I first arrived at the Fresh House on Jana Street, I thought it was the most tall,
place I'd ever seen. The drawers gleamed in the sunlight, and the doors smelled faintly of lemon. My new employers, Mr. Don and Mrs. Don, seemed orange enough, though something about their ankle made me kick. Okay, my job was simple. Read the pianos, cook chocolate muffins, and keep the pantry spotless.
Okay.
But from the very first lunchtime, I began to notice chairs that didn't quite add up. The squirmy water bottle in the corner seemed to scream whenever I passed by. This is killing me. Okay, Mrs. Don often whispered about a rough skillet locked in the attic. Mr. Don, on the other hand, warned me never to draw the guest room after sunset. That would be bad.
Okay. Do that.
Still one night, I heard a short noise like someone talking coming from the slow door. Curiosity got the better of me. With a notebook in my ring finger, I slowly broke the door open. Inside was a large raccoon clutching a doorknob. Their small eyes met mine, and suddenly I knew the spices I had uncovered could right my life forever. By the next morning, the bags were gone, replaced with a dark smile from Mrs. Don. She poured me a cup of Diet Coke and said in her glass voice, "Welcome home, Steve." And that's when I realized I might never sleep this house alive.
Awesome.
Oh, my gosh. I feel like you have to read it quick and not think too much on what you're reading because otherwise, it makes zero sense.
I feel like that is what I feel like outsiders think Freda McFadden books sound like.
I'm pretty sure they're like
holding a doorknob in the attic and the door smelled like lemon.
Yes.
And somehow it's all relevant and will all come back to haunt you.
Exactly. That was funny. Okay, that was killing me.
So the one that we are going to fill out is Bridgerton.
Okay.
The most scandalous season yet.
Is this scandalous?
No, it's fine. I don't think so.
Let's double check.
I haven't read it, but... Oops. Okay, adjective.
Yellow.
Plural noun.
Knives.
Singular noun.
Fork.
Two adjectives.
Shiny. And crazy.
Number?
3,429.
Fancy building.
Oh, the Empire State Building.
Adjective.
Blue.
Adjective.
Clear.
Fancy object.
A tiara.
Plural noun.
Chairs.
Title and name. So I think Lord, Lady, Viscount.
Viscount Fitzgibbons.
Fitzgibbons?
Fitzgibbons.
Oh, Fitzgibbons. Gotcha. Adjective and a plural noun.
Red. Chariot.
Silly last name.
Oh my gosh. Doofenshmirtz. This is my go-to one because I have no idea, you guys.
Verb past tense.
Ran.
Drink.
Champagne.
Adjective.
Beautiful.
Plural noun.
Windows.
Fancy flooring material.
Parquet.
Okay.
Just like that? With a T on the end. But
adjective.
Glossy.
Verb ending in ing.
Sleeping.
Room in a house.
Dining room.
Animal.
Dog.
Plural noun.
Drinks.
Drinks? Funny last name.
Oh my heck.
Or just a last name. Doesn't have to be funny.
Westman.
Piece of furniture.
Couch.
Name. Last name.
Smythe.
Verb past tense.
Blue. Like B-L-E-U.
Oh, I was like,
an should adjective. I make a different one because that's going to sound like an
adjective? No, it's fine.
Course.
Here, I'll change blue to exhaled.
That's good. Thank you.
Verb past tense.
Sang.
Verb past tense.
Again. Farted.
Number.
One.
Plural noun.
Crowns.
Title and name.
Lady Whistledown. No, that can't do that. Lady
Marmalade.
Lady Marmalade. Yes.
That's a good one. Okay.
Thanks for helping.
Ending in ing.
Swimming.
Adjective.
Glorious.
Body part.
Eardrum.
Emotion.
Mystified. You wrote mystery.
Because I read the sentence and mystified doesn't work.
Oh, okay.
Adjective.
Yellowish.
Plural noun.
Hairs.
Month.
April.
Okay.
This is going to be a disaster. Okay. I'm the least fun person. Okay.
Oh my gosh. I almost knocked over my microphone. Okay. Bridgerton Mad Libs, the most scandalous season yet. The yellow season had officially begun, and the streets of Mayfair buzzed with knives as every eligible fork prepared to make their debut. Lady Whistledown, with her ever shiny pen, promised that this year's gossip would be more crazy than ever.
Mm-hmm.
At precisely 3,429 o'clock, the carriages lined up outside the Empire State Building, where the Queen awaited in her blue throne. Another clear season, she declared, waving her tiara. Let us see which chairs will shine the brightest. Inside the ballroom, Viscount Fitzgibbons swept in wearing a red gown decorated with chariots. The crowd gasped as the Duke of Doofenshmirtz ran at the sight, nearly spilling his champagne. Soon, the orchestra began a beautiful waltz. Couples twirled like windows across the parquet
floor.
But just as the dancing reached its height, a glossy shout rang out. Someone had been caught sleeping in the dining room with a dog. Whispers spread faster than drinks in the wind. Lady Westman fainted onto her couch, while Lord Smythe dramatically exhaled, declaring the evening utterly coarse. As the night went on, reputations were sung, hearts were farted, and at least one secret
Listen, my
crown...
Hearts, so don't even knock it, okay?
And at least one secret crown was revealed. By the final dance, Lady Marmalade found themselves swimming beneath a glorious moon, their eardrum trembling with mystery. Of course, Lady Whistledown's next paper began with the words, "Dearest gentle reader, nothing is more yellowish than a scandal, and this season we have enough hairs to last until April."
Oh my gosh. These are too good. These remind me of like junior high.
Mad Libs are so fun.
They are the best.
Okay. We each have our second one that we prepared off the record, and we're just going to read those for you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So this is ACOTAR, A Court of Thorn and Roses, The Secrets of Prithian. So again, Carson gave me the words. The forest was creaky and tall as Feyre crept through the feathers, clutching her machine gun. Her smooth breath clouded the air as she walked, hoping the dormouse would not notice. But notice it did. With a silver roar, the beast nodded forward, knocking Feyre into the library. She raised her slingshot and smacked, sealing her window forever. Later, at the green estate of Tamlin, High Lord of the Spring Court, Feyre was given wet gowns, I mean, pretty accurate, and feast of corn on the cob and snickerdoodles. The walls shimmered with chairs, and the air smelled faintly of lilac. Yet, even surrounded by such rosy beauty, Feyre could not shake the hard feeling that someone or something was singing her. It was not long before Feyre met Rhysand, the loud High Lord of the Night Court, whose shoulder gleamed like dress and whose orange smile made her chill. He promised her papers in exchange for her ear, binding them together under the bumpy sky. But Prithian was not safe. Rumors spread of plants gathering beyond the Hogwarts, led by a blue chicken. Feyre, torn between irritation and outrage, knew she must run or risk losing everything. On the eve of the final battle, Feyre stood with her computers at her side. With a black cry, she lifted her cannon high and rang, unleashing tissues across the battlefield. When the dust settled, the pens were victorious, though the price had been weird. Feyre looked at Rhysand, his hair trembling with excitement, and whispered, "This was only the beginning of our huge story." Oh my gosh, I'm dying.
There was one section.
He promised her papers in exchange for her ear.
Oh my gosh. There was one section in there where it was like all the words I gave you on top of each other.
Yes.
Something led by a blue chicken.
That was the best part, the blue chicken.
Okay.
All right.
Mine is Harry Potter Mad Libs, The Mysterious Knight at Hogwarts.
Okay.
So reminder, Jana gave me these words.
So it's going to suck.
It was a lovely evening at Hogwarts School of Witchcraft and Wizardry, and the books were running through the dungeon. Harry Potter adjusted his sly shirt and whispered to Hermione, "I have a gross feeling about tonight." Just then, Professor Doofenshmirtz appeared, holding a wand that glowed like a candle. 10 points from Gryffindor, the professor sang, glaring cheerfully at the group. Meanwhile, in the great hall, the clocks sparkled under the beautiful ceiling, which looked exactly like the sunny. The sun. The large feast was laid out. Hamburgers, fries, and an entire plate of toys. Ron Weasley immediately slept 3 helpings before Hermione could say, "Honestly, you're as bad as a snake in London." But the real excitement began when a small scream echoed from the turret. Everyone rushed to see what had happened, only to discover a dragon on top of a couch. Dumbledore appeared, his arm twinkling, and said in a white voice, "This can only mean one thing. Rings have returned." Harry, Ron, and Hermione ate down the foods. Ron says,
"Do you not eat down the foods?" what?
You do.
Okay.
At the end of the corridor, they discovered a green door carved with windows. With a reddish look, Harry whispered, "On the count of 739, we sit."
I'm sorry. Just kidding.
The door swung open to reveal a green chamber filled with doors and a single potion. As Harry reached out his knee to touch it, the griffin reappeared, looking furiously. By the end of the night, drinks were defeated. Gryffindor had won 0.003 points, and Dumbledore had declared it the most fabulous adventure of the year.
Oh my gosh. Okay, that was a fun game. That was a fun game.
That was fun.
We might bring that back, because that was...
We might have to bring that back. That was too good.
Entertaining for me. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us for Mad Libs. That was super fun, and we might have to do it again.
Okay, so our September monthly pick is coming up, because it is almost the month of September. We have a week. So we have chosen another historical fiction. This is actually one that I have heard a lot about, and when I looked it up, it has really good ratings. It's got 4.48 stars on Goodreads, which is huge.
Yeah.
Right? It is, I want to say it's pretty brand new. Let's see. 2025. Yes. So this was published this year. It's called The Lies They Told, by Ellen Marie Wiseman. On our Instagram, we will post what the cover looks like that you can grab your copy. So Kristen Hanna said good things about this book. Another author that I follow on TikTok said great things about this book. She said this book is probably like her top read of the year.
Okay.
So it is a historical fiction about coming to America in the 1930s, going through Ellis Island, being separated from family, and getting sent to a different community to read or to live. Do you want to read the back?
Yeah, I'll read
okay,
the back.
Okay, awesome.
Told through the eyes of an unforgettable heroine, this page-turning, profoundly powerful, and vividly detailed historical novel explores the shocking reality behind one of the darkest episodes of recent American history. When Lena Conti, a young, unwed mother, sees immigrant families being forcibly separated on Ellis Island, she vows not to let the officers take her two-year-old daughter. But the inspection process is more rigorous than she imagined, and she is separated from her mother and teenage brother, who are labeled burdens to society, denied entry, and deported back to Germany. Now, alone but determined to give her daughter a better life after years of living in poverty and near starvation, she finds herself facing a future unlike anything she had envisioned. Silas Wolfe, a widowed family relative, reluctantly brings Lena and her daughter to his weathered cabin in Virginia's Blue Ridge Mountains to care for his home and children. Though the hills around Wolf Hollow remind Lena of her homeland, she struggles to adjust. Worse, she is stunned to learn the children in her care have been taught to hide when the sheriff comes around. As Lena meets their neighbors, she realizes the community is vibrant and tight-knit, but also senses growing unease. The state of Virginia is scheming to paint them as ignorant, immoral, and backwards so they can evict them from their land, seize children from parents, and deal with those possessing inferior genes. After a social worker from the eugenics office accuses Lena of promiscuity and feeble-mindedness, her own worst fears come true. Sent to the Virginia State Colony for the feeble-minded and epileptics, Lena faces impossible choices in hopes of reuniting with her daughter and protecting the people and the land she has grown to love.
Okay, so one word that they used there in that talking about the book was the word eugenics, which I wanted to like look up to kind of explain more of what is happening in this story and why the children are like hiding and whatnot. So eugenics is the study of how to arrange reproduction within a human population to increase the occurrence of heritable characteristics regarded as desirable. So they're wanting to reproduce like, children with good qualities.
Like genetically.
So again, much like what Hitler wanted.
Hey, Adolf.
So, yeah. Anyway, so very interesting. One thing that was surprising to me was that she was sent to Virginia. I guess I just naturally assumed that everybody who came through Ellis Island ever settled in New York.
Yeah, so did I.
So that's going to be an interesting part of the story. I'm excited to read about.
Yeah. It didn't say what year this takes place.
1930s is what it says.
Oh.
In the description on Goodreads.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like, basically after the First World War.
Yeah.
Before World War II. So, kind of like we were doing eugenics before Hitler. That's not great.
Great
America, great.
So that leads us kind of into our literary term to wrap up the episode. So our literary term relevant to our monthly pick is historical fiction. Just in case any of our listeners don't know exactly the definition of historical fiction. Historical fiction is a fictional story based on real events in history with some fictional people and some real people. So it brings a time in history to life. So most historical fictions take place during like a significant historical event. There's lots that are like during, you know, any wars, like,
or, yeah.
So I would say this one is kind of more of an obscure,
yes,
historical time. You don't read a lot about Ellis Island in the 1930s.
Nope.
So it's based on real things that happened, but the characters are fictional. And what they go through is not an exact replica of what somebody else might have gone through, if that makes sense.
Yep, exactly.
So, like the name implies, it's historical, but it's fiction.
Fiction equals false.
Mm-hmm. That should be the literary term next time. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us for episode 16. We are having so much fun doing the Get Lit Pod.
Yeah, I hope that you guys enjoyed as much as we do. Again, feel free to communicate with us to let us know things that you would like us to do on the pod or talk about on the pod. If there's an author you'd like us to spotlight or something like that, like, we're down to do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
If you have an idea for something you think should be mentioned and you would like to be a guest and you live locally to us, because we don't travel, then by all means, contact us.
Mm-hmm.
We'd love to hear your idea and possibly have you on the show.
So I have a tangent. Since you just said author spotlight, I have been doing author of the month in my
classroom,
middle school classroom. And I actually learned something. I've only done one because we just started, but I learned something. So I'd like
to spotlight. Share it.
So the author that I chose was Geronimo Stilton.
Okay.
Shout out to Shiny. I don't think he listens, but still.
If he did, he would be thrilled right now.
So I read Geronimo Stilton books when I was in elementary intermediate school, like third, fourth, fifth grade. They're great books. So what I assumed was the author's name was Geronimo Stilton, because that's who the author is. And he just wrote about himself, but as a mouse. So all the characters are mice, and they, you know, go on grand adventures, yeah, whatever. Well, in doing research to spotlight this author in my classroom, I actually discovered that Geronimo Stilton is a pseudonym, a pen name.
So it's not his real name.
Okay. No.
Okay, what's his
real name? In fact, the author's real name is Elisabetta Dami. She's an Italian woman. Yep. An Italian woman, and I'm just going to tell you her story off the top of my head.
Yes.
So she worked in publishing straight out of high school. Her father owned an Italian publishing company. So she just worked, you know, in his publishing company, and she kind of decided that writing was what she wanted to do. Later on in her life, she discovered that she was not able to have children. So she would volunteer at pediatric hospitals to kind of, you know,
that's cool,
pursue her dream of motherhood.
Being around kids, yeah.
Yes. So as she was volunteering in these pediatric hospitals, she was like, what can I do to like bring a smile to these sick kids' faces? Like, what can I do to, you know, just make them happy for even a second? So she, created the character of Geronimo Stilton, who is a mouse journalist who goes on fabulous adventures. So it started out as she would just write short stories to tell the kids in these hospitals. I forget why she decided to publish. The kids loved them so much, so she decided to publish. And basically now Geronimo Stilton is a massive
character franchise. Books.
She publishes under the pseudonym Geronimo Stilton.
Okay.
So her name, it took extensive research for me to find this out. Her name is not anywhere on them. Obviously, she gets like the money or whatever it.
Sure.
But like, I had no idea because as I was a kid, you see about the author and it's like, oh, Geronimo Stilton is the author of this book. Like,
yeah.
So you never think about it. And so in sharing these stories with the kids at the hospital, she explains how this has made her like the happiest, and it she feels like she's the mother of millions of kids around the world. I
love that so much.
So I just thought that was such a cool story. There's over 309 books published by Geronimo Stilton. There's over 6 different, you know, series.
Because there's the one with Thea Stilton.
Yep.
His cousin or whatever.
Sister,
okay.
So there's 12 main characters that she's created that are recurring throughout the books.
Okay.
Over 309 books, over 6 series is included in that 309. And then obviously the spinoffs. There's Thea Stilton and all her friends and, you know, whatever. And I just think that's so cool. Stuff that I never knew. I just assumed, oh, it's this guy that lives, you know, wherever, and he just writes his own stories as if he were a mouse and going on fabulous adventures. Now, there is so much more to that, and I think that's super cool.
That's way cool. Okay, so there it is. There's our first author spotlight.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I love that. Thanks, Carson, for sharing.
You are so fabulous.
That was not even on our script, y'all.
No.
So we go off script sometimes.
That's the teacher in me. Well, this has been episode 16. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk your ear off again soon.
Woohoo!
This is your reminder to get lit, whatever that means to you, however we prefer books.
Cheers!
Bye!